So, as I announced you, I want to show now the role of convexity. Okay? So, I showed you that local and global optimality are different concepts. Okay? Now, I want to show if we are considering what is called a convex optimization problem. It means our standard problem B, where both the function f, which we wish to minimize, and the set D are convex. So, f and D are both convex. I exactly want to show you the following property. I should say f is convex on D. Okay, so D, let me write it explicitly. D is convex and f from Rn to R is convex on D. I want to show you the following. Any local minimum point of our optimization problem B is also a global minimum point. This means that for this type of problems, the distinction between local and global does not occur. Okay? Because we know that a global minimum is always a local minimum. Here we are stating the vice versa. Okay? The problems where all the data, the function, and the set are convex are called convex optimization problems or convex programs. Okay? So another class of problem is the class of convex optimization problems. Okay? And they are essentially the nicest of all because we don't have to, I can take simply minimum point. It doesn't matter to say local or global because they are exactly the same thing. Okay? Things like this cannot happen. Okay? I'm going to show you the proof of this theorem. And let me first give it by a picture. Okay? So, this is B in R2, in my example. Let's suppose that S bar is a local minimum point. Okay? It means that there is some ball here, done this way, centered in X bar with some suitable ray, such that F at any point here is greater or equal than F at X bar. Okay? This is the definition of local minimum. But suppose, by contradiction, that this is not a global minimum point. Okay? There is another point in the whole region where the function takes a smaller value. For instance, this one. Okay? So, f at x is smaller than f at x bar. And let's say this is epsilon, so we know also that f of x bar is less or equal than f at x for each x which belongs to the ball of center x bar and radius epsilon for some suitable positive x.
Okay.
Let's simply take the segment between the two points. Okay? And I want, okay, the set is convex. Okay? This point will be some,
let me use the same,
lambda x plus 1 minus lambda x bar for some lambda between 0 and 1. Okay? I want to evaluate the function on this type of points. Okay? I want to show you that on the whole segment, the value of the function is smaller than f at x bar. Smaller. Not smaller or equal. Smaller. Smaller. Okay? If I prove this, I'm done, because it means that in this point here, which are on the segment but also belong to this ball, the function takes a smaller value than at x bar, and this is impossible. So I get a contradiction. Okay? Because by the way I've chosen x bar, this ball exists. Okay? So x bar is a local minimum point, and this is true. I contradict this. It means that this cannot be true. Okay? Because if this is true, then this is false. But I know that this is true. Okay? Standard argument by contradiction. So the unique point of the proof is to show you the value of the function at this point. Okay? So what I have to show you is that value of f at lambda times x plus 1 minus lambda times x bar. Okay? Really, I don't know the value of the function, but I know that the function is convex. Okay? So, by the definition, this is less or equal than this quantity here. Okay? I'm almost done, because I'm supposing this is true. It means that this value is smaller than this value. So this quantity here is smaller than this other quantity here. I just replace f of x with f of x bar. Okay? And this is f of x bar. Okay? And so I proved that the value of the function at this point is smaller, because I had small here, than the value at x bar. And this contradicts this local optimum. Okay? So, if it's local, if it's a local minimum point, and it is not a global minimum point, I get a contradiction. Okay? Notice, I used the convexity of D here. Okay? If D were not convex, this might have been untrue, because I need the point to be feasible. Okay? Because this is, sorry, for all points in the ball, but point must be feasible. So it must be in the ball intersected D. I'm sorry. Okay, I erased the definition. So it's done this way. It is in the ball, but it is also to be feasible. The way I made the picture, the whole ball is feasible. But it could have, the picture could have been something like this. Okay? But the convexity of the region guarantees that this segment is inside the region.
Okay?
And if lambda is close enough to zero, then this point here, belongs to the ball if lambda is small enough.
Yes.
So the convexity of this of the
well, it was used to prove this part of the contradiction. The convexity means that the point is feasible. If you take lambda small enough, you are in the ball, so you are here. This should be true. But by the convexity of the function, this is not true. And you get the contradiction. Okay?
So actually you are using
both.
Otherwise there would be no reason to put them both. Okay?
This is telling you if I move along that segment, I keep being in the region. And the convexity of the function allows you to give this the inequality. To give an upper estimate of the value of the function on the segment. Okay? I repeat in Italian. La convessità della funzione serve per dare una stima superiore del valore della funzione nel punto del segmento. Okay?
Was exactly the translation of the previous words.
So this is a core result. When you
are given a convex optimization problem,
you don't have to worry about global and local optimality. They are the same thing. And since you trust me, I told you that we will be able to solve efficiently local optimization problem. We are able to find efficient algorithm to find local minima, so we are okay. If the problem is convex and I need the global minimum, this is not true, and I'm in trouble, okay? Because I have efficient algorithms for this problem, but not for this problem, okay?
Is the proof clear?
Okay, so there's another interesting result which requires definition I didn't give you before the break, which is strict convexity. Okay? Strict convexity is not that different from convexity. The basic idea is exactly the same. As you can imagine from here, strict convexity means that I want this type of inequality smaller and not smaller or equal. So f from Rn to R is called strictly convex, or it is a strict convex function
if,
and you have the same definition of strictly convex, sorry, on a convex set D.
Whenever x and y are in D, and lambda is between 0 and 1,
Then you have this inequality. No, sorry. Lambda is between 0 and 1, but it is different from 0 and it is different from 1. And also x and y are different.
Why? Because if I take x equal 1, if I take, sorry, lambda equal 1, this is x.
And this is, and this is f of x and this is f of x. Okay? If I take lambda equal 0, this is f of y and this is f of y, so strict inequality cannot be true. Okay? And also, if the two points are the segments, this is always x and this is always f at x and this is always f at x.
Okay? So I have to erase these three points.
Okay? The definition is the same, but I have to erase the strict points where equality is always true, and I ask for a strict inequality. Okay?
I give you an example here.
This function is strictly convex, which means that no matter if we two points x and y, this line is always above the graph of the function, okay? And never takes the value, the same value, except for the string points. Okay? This other function here is convex, but not strictly convex. Let me draw it. Let's say the function is done this way. Okay? Take this point x here, take this point y here, okay? The segment and the function take the same value so that here you have equal. Okay? So this is convex, but not strictly convex. Well, this one is strictly convex. Strictly convex, it means you don't have lines in the graph, essentially, okay? Roughly speaking. It is not formal, but it means that. Okay? Why I'm speaking about strict convexity? I'm speaking about strict convexity because strict convexity gives you an amazing property. Okay? Let's take the same problem we had before. We are minimizing f over d. D is a convex set. And f is convex, but actually it is strictly convex. Let me write, suppose f is actually strictly convex. Then, there exists at most one minimum point of our problem. Two remarks. First is the statement. One. It means that the solution is unique. There is a unique minimum point. But, no, sorry, this is not true. There is at most. Okay? It means that if the problem has a minimum point, then the minimum point is unique. But it may happen that the problem does not have a minimum point. Okay. But If there's a minimum point, then it is unique. Okay? Third remark, here I didn't specify if global or local. Why? Why did I avoid to specify? Because of the previous point. Since the function is strictly convex, it is convex, and so global and local minima are the same concept, and so I don't have to specify. Okay? I'm giving now an example, which you may have already seen in the first lecture when we spoke about Weierstrass theorem. Let's consider a function done this way. For instance, this could be e to the minus x, okay? And let's consider the non-negative numbers as the set D. Exercise for you. This function here is strictly convex in one variable, okay? But there is no minimum point, okay? Why? Because exists also another part of the exercise, the optimal value of the problem is zero, okay? But the function takes value zero nowhere. There is no point where the function takes value zero, okay? So this is a few exercises. Show that the optimal value of the problem is zero, which means there exists no optimal solution. Second, prove that this function is strictly convex. Okay. Well, now I'm going to give you some... Yes, we have still some time. I'm starting to give you some properties of convex functions, some characterization of convex and strictly convex functions. Okay? Which may help you also in solving the exercise. I mean, the definition of a convex function is nice. Okay, you can draw pictures. You can say, oh, all these segments are above the graph of the function. It's very nice. But how can you check them? Okay, how can you check this? You should check for every pair of points, and so on. For every pair of points, for the entire segment which unites the two points, the property must hold. Okay? Mathematical nice definition, not very practical to be checked directly. Okay, I mean, up to now in this example, I based the example on intuition. Okay. But do I have some property which I can really check? And yeah, the answer is yes. So I'm going to state you a few properties without proofs, okay? You'll find the proofs in my notes, okay? If you have troubles with the... If you have troubles with the proof, the proofs, you come to me and we discuss them. Okay, some are related to convexity of set, and I already showed you once, but I'm going to repeat it. Okay? A function is convex if and only if its epigraph is convex. Okay, so let's take a function f from Rn to R, and a set D. And let's take a set D in Rn, and let's take a convex set. Okay. First property, F is convex if and only if, is convex, sorry, only if and only if the epigraph of F restricted to D, which means the set of pairs XT such that X belongs to D and T is a real number such that T is greater or equal than F at X, which is the subset of Rn plus 1, is convex. Okay? How do you prove this? You apply the definition. Okay? You suppose this is convex? Try to check the definition of convexity for this set, exploiting how this set is done. And you manage. And vice versa. You know that this set is convex? State convexity here, starting from a point here, and try to prove it exploiting that this is convex. Okay? Simple application of the definition. This is a bit nicer. Suppose that F is convex, then the sublevel set, which I'm going to define, of F are all convex. I mean, let's say this, the set of points X, sorry, let me write it this way. The set of points X in is convex. Oh, sorry, I'm a bit tired here. So let's suppose that F is convex on D. Then let's take the set of points D, the set of points X which belongs to D, such that F at X is less or equal than some value alpha. Okay? Then this set is convex for any choice of alpha. No matter how you choose alpha, the number, the set of points in D such that f at x is less or equal than alpha is a convex set. Okay? This is called the sublevel set of F of value, sublevel set on F restricted to D with respect to D of value alpha. Okay? The important part of the name is this, sublevel set. Is the set of points where the function takes value at most alpha. Okay. Just to give you an example. Okay. I have this function here. Okay. This is the function. Let's take this value alpha, okay? And let's take as a feasible region D non-negative numbers, okay? This is D. D is the set of non-negative numbers. So the point at which the function takes values less than alpha or equal to alpha is this one, okay? And this is the set I described to you here. Okay? The sub-level set, I could name it, okay, just for the example. Sub-level set of is this one. Okay? Let me take another value. Let me take this value as alpha. The sub-level set are these points here, which is the set of points at which the function takes value less than alpha or equal to alpha. Okay? You see in the example these are convex sets. Okay? Is this a convex function? Obviously not. You take two points here and here, and you not satisfy the property. Let's take some alpha here. Okay? Some value alpha here. The corresponding sublevel set is this one, and it is convex. Okay? But take, for instance, this as a value alpha. Okay? So, where is the function takes a small value alpha? Here? And here. So, it is this one and this one. This is not a convex set. Okay? Take a point here. Take a point here. Take the segment, it is not included in the blue set. Okay? This is not a convex function. Okay? Because sublevel sets are not convex. Here I did not write if and only. Okay? I just said if the function is convex, the sublevel sets are convex. Not the vice versa. Because the vice versa is false. Okay? And I'm going to show you an example. Here's a lovely one. Here's an example for you. This example is very simple. I already showed you earlier some other things. One variable, x cubed. The function is done this way. Okay? Let's take the full space as a region. Okay? We discussed before, this is not a convex function. Okay? Because you can see it. The epigraph is this part of the space, and it is not convex, because you take a point here, you take a point here, and the line is not inside the set. So this is not a convex function. But no matter how I take alpha, the sublevel set is this top line, where this is with this the alpha to 1/3, okay? The cubic root of alpha. So the sublevel sets are convex, but the function is not convex. Okay? The sublevel sets are the intervals minus infinity cubic root of alpha, which are convex. They are intervals. So the vice versa is not true. Just for your knowledge, I will not use it. There is the function whose sublevel sets are convex are called quasi-convex.
Okay? Convex is quasi-convex by definition if its sublevel sets are convex. So they are the convex functions plus some other functions. Okay? But just for your knowledge, we will never use it. Okay? Okay, a couple of rules. Suppose you have a family of convex functions. Okay, let's say that you have functions fi, which are all convex on the same set V. And E belongs to a set of indices, capital I. Okay? You have a family of convex functions. Well, let's consider the sum of these functions. Okay? So the sum of this function, which I write in this way, is the function that at each x associates the value given by the sum of the values of the function. Okay? If you have two functions, f1 plus f2, for instance. Okay? You know how to, this is straightforward definition. Okay? So, is this a convex function? Well, let me state that since I want to be sure that these values are not plus infinity, because here I'm summing up, let's suppose that I is finite. Okay? So, just to be sure, suppose that we have a finite number of functions. And then we take the sum of them. Okay? If all the functions are convex, then the sum of this function is convex on the same set. The proof is simply an example. You apply the definition. You apply the definition of convexity for each function while checking the convexity of this. Okay? You apply to each of these terms the definition. Second, which is more interesting, the pointwise supremum of a family of functions, of convex function, is convex. What is the pointwise supremum? Is the function which I call this way, that takes this value. At each point x, the value of the function is the sum of the values fi at x. Okay? Well, the pointwise supremum of the family of convex functions is convex. And in this case, I can also take an infinite number of values, and this is convex, provided that this value is finite everywhere. Okay? I'll show you an example, and then we stop. Let's make it simple. Let's take the two functions. Okay. This is the first convex function. Okay. And this is the other. And this is the other convex function. Okay. So this is f1
and this is F2.
The supremum pointwise of these two functions
is this orange function here.
Okay. You can prove both of them. The proof of the second property is explicitly given in the lecture notes, while the first one is simply a statement. Apply the definition to each fi and then sum. Okay. But there is the explicit property for this. Okay. Which is strictly related to the same property, to a similar property for sets. Okay? If you have, let's say, a family of convex sets, DI, which are convex, then you can prove that their intersection is convex. I should put this one on the notes. So, convexity plays an important role in optimization, and the relevance is given by this statement here. Okay? Global and local optimality are the same concept for convex optimization programs. Okay? Tomorrow, I will start the lecture giving you some more properties of convex functions, okay? Before we move on to another issue. So, we meet tomorrow at 11.